I went through high school, finished high school, got out and went to college to become a sign language interpreter. Mm. 13 years of sign language interpreting led me through the entire scholasticdom, everything from kindergarten to every college class you can imagine, to every life situation you can envision, reading people Miranda, going through a funeral, prepping a funeral, all of the things that you guys go through. There's eventually a deaf person that goes through exactly the same thing. And that's kind of why I think I have gravitated towards podcasting. My interpreting life took me to, go ahead and just destroy it. Feel free.
That one isn't working.
Well, yes, except that we have the 800 by 600 screen on the 900 pixel website.
Well, I have my EPC projector here that works almost every time.
Really? Who'd you buy that from?
Great place up in St. Charles.
Oh, really? Great.
Called EPC.
Good answer. Mm-hmm.
The right answer.
Anyway, thank you for derailing my conversation.
Good for it.
Interpreting led me to taking a bunch of different classes with students, and so I've taken probably 9 different master's degrees. I just have no papers for
it. Were you able to listen while you were interpreting?
Yeah. There's various kinds of interpreters. There's some that retain some of the stuff. There's some that catch and provide it out, and then it just goes out the other ear, and nobody ever remembers it. I usually retain, especially the stuff that I want to know about. And I happened to get on with a bunch of people when web design started to get really, really hot and just starting to be born. And what I've always had since I was a tiny little kid is the ability to draw, to grab a pen and make cartoons. And in fact, I was a part-time cartoonist for several newspapers in Wisconsin right after I finished high school. And then my dad and I had a conversation about you don't want to be a starving artist. And not so strangely, I agreed with it. And so, again, the interpreting led me to being with students that were taking the web design NES. And so I now knew how to take all of my art skill and put it on the web, which is the whole key. Many of you probably have a skill that you could throw to the web and somehow make money on it. Well, that's exactly what I do now. The difference is that I take all of the web design, that's carried over into my interest in television shows, and then telling people what I think. Any of you that know me know that nobody doesn't understand that I can tell anybody what I think of them or anything around them without any problem at all. And so now, I do that professionally. I'm an entertainment critic. I have a couple of regularly occurring podcasts that are on the web that have, one show has 41,000 listeners every month, the other one has 38,000 listeners every month. And I'm going to give you the little pieces of that too, because the story of how the podcast started is really cool. How many of you watched the Hitbox Show 24? Tony, do you watch it? I'm not sure. I'm sorry, hands again. One more time. Okay, how many of you watched the new Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles show? Now you understand.
Yeah, that's why I thought.
How many are Terminator fans? Do you like the original Terminator films? Okay. You now understand my point of why I can grab little things that people like to talk about and make what amounts to a popular radio show out of them. And it's because I talk about the things that pop out of my head and talk about it like I was sitting next to any one of you. And that conversational nature, along with something that people are interested in, instantly makes for something interesting that you want to listen to regularly. The way that started was a coworker and I started a podcast. It'll be 5 years in September that we started the podcast. And we started talking about 24, and I thought it was cool, and so we decided to record it. Well, we did record it. We got about a month and a half into the show, and at a month and a half, we got an email from a guy in Mallorca, Spain. Okay, that's reasonably weird. Well, he said he was the production designer from 24. His name was Joseph Hodges, and we thought, sure you are. Thanks a lot, Mr. Production Designer. We appreciate your time. Bloop! Deleted it. Well, it was. It was a production designer from 24, and he enjoyed our podcast. We asked him on for a series of interviews, and we went from about 80 listeners to 10,000 listeners in a period of 3 months. What that instantly turned into for me, because I've always been the entrepreneurial type, it turned into a potential revenue stream. And so what we've done is we've sold advertisement space on both a website with a podcast network, and then also advertisements that occur inside the podcast. Where are we look-wise? Deadly Windows. I thought, surely you guys would be throwing shit at the window here. Do you know how to change this over into the... I just want to continue speaking rather than...
Oh,
No, I know how to do it. I just didn't want to stop addressing everybody. So anyway, 80 to 10,000 listeners in a period of 3 months. We finished out our first season absolutely flabbergasted at what we had done, because all we were doing was talking about a television show. And it's all kind of just...
You want me to snack that?
Would you mind? That'd be great.
Probably going to puke on that. What's your name?
Go ahead. Play with that. Okay. Can you see okay?
Good.
Hey, can you turn these lights up over here?
Okay, that's more like it.
There you go.
That looks good. And then just window D, all the windows down.
Want this one, yes?
Uh-huh. There we go, and then just, whoops, go up to the top. There you go, and then put the window in the middle.
I have used it here a couple times.
That's great. Super. So we went from one show, the concept of the whole thing was two guys talking, colon, whatever the hell we're going to talk about. And so that's exactly what it is. Two guys talking, and here we've got the, of course, the derbies depicting this month, and then news of every kind. Here's the two guys talking, colon, 24 show. Is it? I'm sure it's still going. Anyway, this part of the website changes through all the different shows, and I've been able to bring on several other people who are, in general, innate storytellers, and then all I have to do is get them over the technological hump of how to record whatever it is they're reading, whether it's an article, old family stories and lore that they've had carried down through generations. No matter what it is, no matter what your field or hobby is, there's a podcast waiting for everybody. It's just a matter of finding the one that doesn't suck that we can actually sell to sponsors. That's the whole thing about the podcast network. Here's the Terminator podcast with the two guys and,
of course,
the Terminator.
What's the website you were on?
It's twoguystalking.com. Shelly Schneider is an excellent story. Shelly Schneider is an award-winning writer that writes for the Community News in O'Fallon. Do any of you live in O'Fallon by chance? Yeah. Thank you, Tom. She's an award-winning writer that has been writing for 25 years, and she's finally taken her stories to podcasting. And instead of writing a book after her articles, she's got podcasting shoved in the middle, and because she had such a good and solid experience podcasting, she's decided to make a compilation of her podcasting stories, which were initially her articles, but sell it all as a giant pot of cool stuff that she's doing with the internet. Yeah?
So are you working off the premise that they're natural-born storytellers?
Absolutely.
And that once you get them started, I guess I'm thinking I have like a few stories to tell, but I'll run out of content. So maybe I'm not the guy you're looking for.
You know what you are?
Ask you, when you start a storyline, how many stories in a row are you looking for on that?
There are two seasons in a year on my network, and we'd like two podcasts a month. You can always do more, but we'd like two. Because what that allows us to do is to take the regularly changing out content of our two podcasts that provide the vast majority of traffic. So that the analogy my original co-host started was this. It's a gourmet ice cream shop. You got the giant pot of vanilla. You got the giant pot of chocolate, and that's what everybody comes for. But then around those tubs are the different specialty ice creams. And so that's the other podcast that I've created on the network. The goal is, again, to find the niche storytelling. And that's really why something like Linux and the Linux Chronicles, I think, would be very cool. Carl is probably one of the people that could pull something like that off, because he's got that diverse experience that makes me remember everything about interpreting, where I would jump into somebody's life, and I finish whatever I'm doing, and I jump out, and now I've got this great story. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that it carries over into podcasting, and it's just about storytelling. Joke telling is another one. What I'd like to find is a guy that can really, really tell good jokes. Everybody thinks they can tell a good joke. You guys know better than that everybody can tell a really shitty joke. Not very few people can tell really, really good jokes. And so finding the Jokester podcast is another model that's all created.
How long do you like each episode to be? 30 minutes or 15, 45, 2 hours, whatever it turns out to be?
The standard that the industry says that I don't usually follow because, again, I've never been an inside-the-box guy. But the standard is usually 17 minutes. I think that you can extend that. The sample is both the Terminator podcast and the 24 podcast. Both of those are usually about an hour. We've actually had shows that have been almost 2 hours. And it's all based on content. Because you guys know, especially the ones that watch 24 here, you know how rabid that shit gets, especially the fans. It's like Star Trek fans. It's exactly the same thing. This new movie is going to be able to provide us something when we do the Two Guys Talking Star Trek movie podcast. Because what we'll do is we'll go back during the summer, and we'll go and find those big blockbuster movies, and we'll review those professionally. We'll tuck in some advertisements in the middle, and suddenly we have yet another podcast that makes money because people want to hear that because they've been listening to us for a year. That's how the podcasting works on my network. There are plenty of network directories. Podcastdirectory.com is a perfect sample. You go there, and there are 35,000 podcasts to listen to. Where do you start with that?
And half of them are dead links.
Yeah. If the links aren't dead, then they suck. And the whole thing that I started the network for is that there's at least quality control. There are two contests that I hold a year. The first one is the I Hear Your Podcast contest. And the I Hear Your Podcast contest is exactly that. How many of you are dreaming right now about a series of stories that you could tell or want to chronicle? How many of you know somebody that might want to tell or can tell stories but has never thought of podcasting? Well, the I Hear Your Podcast contest is exactly that. You find the people that want to do it or that have already started a podcast but don't know if they suck or not. Well, what we do is we listen to them and we bring them on for a contest. And then we take the giant listenership that's listening to the 24 podcast and Terminator podcast and all the other podcasts and let them vote. And so we have a period of time where you download the show, that's one vote. So if that person were to download it 30,000 times, then they'd have 30,000 votes. It never works out like that, but that's been wonderful over the last 3 years. Yeah.
How do you get found? Two Guys Talking doesn't seem like it would get found. How do you stick out in that 35,000 listing?
Well, I don't. I don't bother listing there at all. It's not worth my time. What I do is I focus on the fans, and so I frequent every forum that's available. I actually partner with them and advertise for them inside my show. And so what happens is all of those extensions, those forums, all of the websites, the blogs that come on that are very popular, they're doing my work. I don't have to do a whole lot of marketing because they're doing it for me. And that's when we're going to talk more about new media later on in the presentation, but that's exactly how I do it. There's one announcement that I make after the show is done that occurs on several different websites, but then those websites take that website and proliferate it for me.
So when the producer first found you, did he just happen to Google to see what people were saying about
the No, he found us on iTunes, which is where the vast majority of traffic comes from. 24 Podcast is what I listed us at. In the last 2 years, I've actually gotten every single domain that I can wrap my noggin around that's 24 Podcast related and Terminator Podcast related. Is that someone trying to get in?
No.
So found is relative. There's definitely more money that I could go and spend on those listings inside those podcast directories. Podcast Pickle is one of my favorites. I like it just because of the name. I think that's funny and quirky, and people go, what the hell is that? That's pretty cool, and it's reasonably cheap, but if I can spend no money, or I can spend some money and maybe I'll get something, when I'm already getting what I need, and the numbers continue to grow because of the quality of the podcast, I don't need to worry about it. Just move it.
Just a thought, you might want to stay two steps to the left so you're not staring
at me. I don't mind that because you can at least see me. The nightmare I had.
We can't see you that
much. I was going to say, it's hard to read.
The nightmare scenario I had, I published this meeting to the circles of deaf and hard hearing people that I know, and I put in there, if you need an interpreter, let us know, crossing my fingers, hoping that we wouldn't have one contact me. Because then I would have to use sign language at the same time I talk to all of you. The other thing I wanted to ask you guys, I've done several of these, probably six over the last year, and the audience is the one that really dictates how I talk. I can sit here and talk about every single show, the niches that they fit, ask you about the different niches you fit, but what do you guys want to know about podcasting in general? Do you want to know the tech about how I get a voice into a computer system, manipulate it, and throw it through? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Tell us about the nuts and bolts.
You got it. Okay. Well, obviously, yeah.
I'm curious about how can you take screenshots from Terminators and a copyright violation?
I'm actually ripping it out and changing out all of the surfaces of anything that's, except for Jack Bauer. Obviously, I couldn't change Jack Bauer's face.
Derivative work.
Exactly, right. But I'm ripping it all out. I also happen to be a graphic designer, and so that does that.
It also helps when you are
whoring the show
on the official forums for
right.
the various
Fox
shows, so.
We're the official fan podcast so, for the Terminator Sarcana Chronicles
so you
and 24.
And you alter.
No, it's mostly fair use. I mean,
but
it's small.
Right, it's fair use, but it's also them shooting me in the foot. Which why would they do that when they know they've got so many listeners that are listening to us? It's not like we get on there and go, "You better not listen to this show. And you better not watch that television show." We'll tell them we're not a shill at all. We'll tell them when we think the writing sucks or. I was really curious about that effect. It really didn't pull off right. We'll tell them that. But there's nothing wrong with that. We're not telling them that the show sucks, because why would we take an hour? Tony and I have always wondered about this. Why would you take an hour, produce a professional podcast, just to bitch about things and say how terrible it is? And the answer is, you don't.
Because you're American.
Well, right. But there's a weird line, though, where, boy, this show is really great, and it's great to talk about it. Boy, this show really sucks, and it's great to talk about it. That's a really dicey find, and so I'm glad that we haven't found a show that really, really, really sucks.
Or you just ignore them if you do.
Yeah, it's really easy to get a feel, and also these are institution shows. These are huge franchises that aren't going to just disappear, although Terminator Sarcana Chronicles is quickly on its way out. Yeah?
What's the most frequent show that you
What's the most frequent show?
Yeah.
Really depends on the time of year. Right now, it's 24. 24 podcasts. Two Guys Talking 24 is easily the majority with...
You put it out every week? Weekly?
It follows the show. Right. It's on usually 2 to 3 days after the show is on. Same with Terminator.
On your whole network, is it that most frequent?
The Terminator podcast and the 24 podcast are the biggest shows. The Galactica Quorum is one that I found two years ago now. They do a Battlestar Galactica podcast, and you can imagine the traffic for that's getting huge because, ding, 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 Friday is the last show that there will be for Battlestar Galactica.
It's ending?
Yeah, tomorrow.
That's ending. There will be another show called Caprica, which the Galactica Quorum will follow, and they'll love to follow it because, frankly, they're exactly the same type of show we are. The difference is that... Well, sorry.
Did you find Earth? Yes.
Don't ruin it.
You'll have to listen to that podcast to find out, actually. Okay, so back to the nuts and bolts, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And again, just break in any time if you have questions. More than happy to try and fill in the blanks. So we have a story. We have somebody wanting to talk about insert whatever they want to talk about. When the Two Guys Talking 24 podcast started, we started with gaming headphones, just your average $20, go to Walmart and buy a $20 gaming headset. It's a little headset with an eighth cord wire with a microphone on it, and it really did sound like it. The benefit we get from that is that now, 5 years later, we can go back and listen to those. And it's just like if you've ever recorded yourself back when you were 16 years old, or in my case, 12 years old. When I had my talk show back when I was 12 years old. But when I go back and listen now, it's amazing to see the difference between what was then and what was now. But you can do the same thing inside of your own podcasting experience. There's a new one we're spooling up called the Galaxy Cast. The Galaxy Cast is a couple of people that I recruited to showcase all of the new Star Wars stuff that's going to be coming in the next couple of years. Because you have, right now, what is the Clone Wars. The Clone Wars is an animated piece that I believe is on the Cartoon Network or something. I'm not sure. But it's new Star Wars content that fits inside the realm. And so that's what they're going to focus on and cover. And then when the new live action show starts, you can see that they don't have any podcast yet, obviously. But when it does start... they'll be able to cover that because I know that I will not have the time and desire to sit and go through a new live-action show that is Star Wars-based. I like Star Wars. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm a science fiction fan at heart. But I don't have the time or inclination to dig into Star Wars and review it. These guys do, however, and what I like is Bob Christman. He lives in upstate New York. He doesn't mind telling people what he thinks either, especially inside of organized fandom, which I have a giant, giant Woody for. He's very bold about what he says, and he doesn't banter about it. He tells you exactly what he thinks. I think he's going to be a great host, along with his co-host. His name is Ian, who is from England. And so instantly you have that, ooh, alien technology, because he's from England. Even though not really, he's just going to have a weird voice. But nonetheless, that's going to be the small ticket that's going to add on to the Star Wars Galaxy Cast podcast. And so now there's something that's going to take on the universe of Star Wars. It's on my network. Cool? Yeah.
Do you find it helpful to set up an outline or a checklist of things that you want to cover in your podcast?
Yeah. The 24 podcast is a great sample. There's something called the 24 and 60. And the 24 and 60, while I wanted it to be an entire episode of 24 and 60 seconds, has become the 24 and 60 plus exclamation point. And the reason is because it's actually about 4 minutes. But I condensed the entire episode down into 4 minutes with key points and a little bit of humor. And it's a lot of fun. What that allows me to do is go through the episode, and as I'm watching, I'll take notes. And then the notes are what I use during the podcast to talk about. It's the tone. Inside of each of our podcasts, there's a tone. And when the tone starts, it's like the audio version of a bullet point. So whatever the tone is for whatever show we're listening to, we read off the bullet point, and then the discussion ensues. And what that really gives us is the conversational nature of two guys talking. It's as if we were sitting someplace, and we dropped a microphone in between, and then we're talking about that thing. Yeah?
It's the bullet point tone and introducing a new topic. Is that an idiom in podcasting? I don't think I've ever heard of it before.
I think that's why our podcasts are so successful, because I don't know another podcast that's like it. Someone just bitched about this recently. The kind of email response that we'll get from people that hate our show. Why are there sound effects every 10 seconds inside of your podcast? Well, what they're referring to is the tone. So if we talk about something for a minute and a half or 2 minutes, and then there's another, depending on what show it is, there's the tone. Well, why is that? Well, it's because it's a bullet point, and no other podcast does that, to my knowledge.
I think it's some of the segments where longer than...
So the first 20 minutes are this.
Longer than a bullet point, but right. Like bumpers between.
Right. And I think that's why we succeed, because the attention span nature of what is listening to stuff, I think that's key. It's super key, yeah.
When you say tone, is it like a doorbell sound or something?
It's going to depend on the podcast. It's the one inside of 24 is kind of a hearkening to Jack Bauer's theme song, except it's something that I made. The one inside of the Terminator podcast is the... For those of you that are Terminator fans, you'll always know the... Well, it's a derivative of that. And so there's blah, 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 talking, and then the tone, and then the topic, and then the talking, and the tone, and the topic, and the talking.
You need a Law and Order podcast, then, so you can get the boom, boom.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if I had to throw a concept, then that's a concept.
A generation too late, I guess, on that one.
Yeah. You know what? That's going to be around longer than all of us, though, so who cares? Law and Order 2390 will have. Look forward to on that, so... That's the other thing that I think is really brilliant about all of this, is that everybody's passionate about something. This just happens to be a television focus, which I think all of us can say, you know, I really like, and then insert a television program. But it could really be anything. There's a podcast we have on the network called Fast Freddy's Castle of Common Sense. It's a 66-year-old grandfather who not only wants to tell you what he thinks, but he wants to leave a legacy for his son and his grandchild. Well, how cool is that? In 30 years, she's got this entire library that she doesn't really understand. She's 5 years old. But when she's 35 years old and she has what her grandpa thought back when she was 5 years old, how cool is that? So there's a goal for podcasting for everybody. It doesn't just have to be someone like me that's talking about a television show and whoring out ads to whatever organization I can find money for. It can really be an audio, and I think that's why people blog. It could also be a written legacy of what you were thinking way back when. I know a lot of people that blog inside the St. Louis Bloggers Guild. We talk about this a lot. You can go back 5 years from when you started blogging and look at someone that was completely different than what you are right now. That's rare. It's not easy to go back and look back at yourself. With video becoming more popular, it is, but... Imagine if you could go back and talk to your, or look and listen to your 13-year-old self, and from the eyes you have now. That's what this type of thing offers, and we don't hit that hard, but I think that's super key, because it's a way to leave a footprint. So back to nuts and bolting. Everybody's got a story. We started with gaming headsets, two gaming headsets with a $7 splitter from Radio Shack for both of the headsets, plugged into the back of a computer system. That's what we started with, and then we were looking around for software. We started with Audacity. Who's familiar here with Audacity? Okay, it's an outstanding program, especially. Why?
It's free.
That's right, it's free. There's a product that we've come into using now, and it's on your outline, actually. It's called Mixcraft. It's Mixcraft from Acoustica. And the reason I am such a whore for these people is because they no-holds-barred step up and pay me money. But then they also give me products so that I can give out copies to anybody that's remotely interested. This is a $70 program that I can give to people that are interested and have a Windows machine. That's the golden nugget for the people in this room, except, of course, there is no golden nugget because I don't know how many of you are using. How many are using Windows right now?
Using?
Yeah.
I haven't installed.
Have
I use
them
when I have no choice.
Well, that's kind of my point. But in any case, they're
will
incredibly...
Will it run under wine?
Yeah, we are. We actually are.
Let's try it.
We'll try it running under wine.
Yeah, and I would love that. In fact, this is how the new media stuff, but also how my networking has worked with the network. Where I tap anybody that's interested in this room about doing a review, having it run inside of Wine. And then suddenly, you guys have a tie into my network, and you get traffic. And that's how the whole circle of podcast life works. Insert Elton John song. That's again why I love this company, because they know that. There are so few companies on the internet that get it. And especially now with the tanking economy, there's so few companies that are willing to throw money at things, but they know that they're getting something out of it. So, yeah.
A little diversion from the nuts and bolts, mm-hmm. but basically you read today that, you know, newspapers are going in the tank. And,
yes.
You know, you look inside a radio station, you got the, you know, four different stations lined up around the control room, all running automated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know... And they do that just to squeeze the last drop of cost out of everything.
Yes.
So they're still barely making money.
Yeah.
But this is the new stuff. This is what's eventually replacing you know, the tired media.
Yeah. For those of you, how many of you listen to 97.1 FM here in St. Louis? Talk show? Okay. When you do listen to that, there's a show called The Dave Glover Show. And 2 years ago, I was in a contest to be one of three shows. I was the one guy talking show, where, not so strangely, we talked about things that were going on in my life, but also about 24. And so that was my presentation to try and win my own show for a month. That was the hook. You come in, and then they've got something else to throw into a piece. And I'm so happy, not only that I didn't win, but that I'm not involved in what are the governing politics of the current radio system. Because it's just a meat grinder. You don't grow, you get into some really horrid politics. I'm glad I missed out on it. So I totally agree with your viewpoint there. It's going to change definitively. And the best part of doing your own show, you kind of get to tell what happens. I have one podcast, it's the Two Guys Talk About Video Games podcast. They just happened to be named that. They didn't take that on, but they were last year's winner of the I Hear Your Podcast contest. There's the banner for them. And they're my only explicit current podcast. They'll have the F-bomb dropped every now and then. They'll use shit and damn. And nothing terribly overt, but it's in there. And you would not be able to do that inside of something on Camel X or on 97.1 FM Talk, that they use it sparingly, I'm totally appreciative of. But it's just, again, it's an extension of them talking about something. It speaks totally to the conversational nature of their show. Theirs right now, I think, if I had to say which one is the most conversational, theirs is. And that's why they won the podcast, because people like them.
Now, which one is this?
That's the Two Guys Talk About Video Games podcast. They follow Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and then an occasional PC game. I'm trying to have them lean more into PC games, but that's just because I'm a PC gamer. I'd rather they stick on the consoles because it's way more popular. And it's just going to get bigger. That's the whole point. All of these all have some sort of shelf life. The one about video games is going to continue until video games aren't around or until they get sick of doing it. Or until they use the F-bomb too much, and then I'll ask them to either stop or get off the network. Galactica Quorum Podcast. Go back to Nuts and Bolts. Yep. Okay, so we went from two headsets and Acoustica. There's nothing wrong with it. There's all kinds of editing options inside of inside of Audacity. But when we got into Acoustic as Mixcraft, that it's exponentially more. There's more stuff in it. The most recent version is akin to Pro Tools, which is an industry standard. The difference is that Pro Tools costs in the range of $900. Acoustic as Mixcraft, again, costs $70. And so that's not a very hard decision to make. When there's more things inside of Mixcraft than there is inside of Pro Tools, there's suddenly a really great tool that you can use. Bless you.
Excuse me.
So we started using the headsets and Mixcraft. And again, as the networking ideas began to split, I found Heil Sound, which is over in Fairview Heights. Do you guys know Heil?
Excuse me, before you get off the software, yeah. Can you give us a few pieces of tidbit points on why it's better?
Sure. The first thing is that there is a complete series of library stuffs inside of every single version of Acoustic Mixcraft, where in Audacity you have to go and find library bits, or you have to create them. Creating them is a great thing. It's just that it's very, very time-consuming, and if you don't have the right kind of stuff, you're not going to make good sounds. The ones inside of Mixcraft now, inside of version 4, are ridiculously high quality. Yeah?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. So like a phone ring, a door closing, a car speeding by.
Stock sounds.
But also, like, musical stuff. Originally, Acoustic as Mixcraft was made for musicians, not for podcasters. And so that's why they're also very excited about us being their front end, because there are no other podcasters that were using Acoustic as Mixcraft before us. And so all the stock sounds, the stock beats, you have every kind of music imaginable, reggae, country, rock, death metal, it's all in there, yeah.
Is this stuff that you incorporate during the show, or do you edit afterwards, or both?
It's almost always after for us. It's way too easy to have super clear thinking as you're recording and then go back later and edit. I think the difference is that a lot of people are using someone else to edit rather than them editing their own show. I think that also... How many of you have actually listened to any podcast ever?
What constitutes a podcast?
That's exactly where I'm going. Mm-hmm. More often than not, a podcast is someone hits the record button and begins speaking about insert topic. They'll mention several things, and then the show ends. There's no sound effects. There's a person speaking or several people speaking, and then it ends. Agreed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not our shows. Mm-hmm. Our shows, it's a total evolution of what a podcast used to be. To go back to your question, there's a local radio station that has a podcast network on their radio station webpage. Well, what I don't consider a network is... Radio station plays on for 4 hours during the day, and that 4 hours is then saved off and put on their webpage, and now they have a podcast. Mm. New. They have a recorded segment that is the copy of the radio show that they had on during the day, and it's available via their website. The podcast idea is literally that it's a show. It's something put together, yeah.
So what you're saying is improved production values get more viewers get more advertising, more advertising gets more money.
I could not be more clear than that. The less production you put into it, the fewer people will listen to you in general. The one that I know that I just love to death is the Tartan Podcast. The Tartan Podcast is a guy that lives in Scotland. And what he does is he searches the world for musicians. It's incredibly good. He goes and he finds those people that would never have a chance of succeeding. And he puts them in his podcast. And over a period of now 6 years, he's gone from nothing to one of the best podcasts on iTunes. And it's there isn't a ton of production value in it at all. There's a tiny little bit of music at the front, there's his introduction, and then he cycles through all of the different bands that he's found, or the ones that have decided to contact him and say, would you mind playing my music? That's the most simple I'd like to see something get. There has to be some structure. As much as I love the tout conversational nature, there has to be some structure. Otherwise, you're just listening to someone bloviating, and I don't have any interest in that.
I think just from what I've seen, the production value isn't necessarily just the sound effects and the editing so much as the overall presentation that
right. You're
prepared and it's professional and clean. And I think that's what a lot of them don't have.
Content will trump sound effects any day.
Yeah.
If there's an excellent, excellent interview with insert somebody with the host of whatever podcast, dude, I'm there, but it's got to engage me. It's just like television. Yeah.
Does it lend itself at all well to like sports talk, like a sports talk show type?
It does. In fact, when Mizzou was huge, I was dying to have someone that is that diehard, I'm going to rip your throat out and tell you what I think about about Mizzou when the Tigers were hot. And they're out there. I just have to find them and say, hey, did you know I have a podcast network?
Well, the other thought I get is that you're approaching college campuses and getting a couple of students in communications talk about their local sports team or whatever.
I've done that, and I don't know if you'll find it strange or not, but the instructors are almost anti-podcast, and that is alien.
That's
alien.
Yeah, behind the times. It's not in the
Yes and no. Yes and no. But when I find an instructor that's probably younger than I am, that really surprises me. It surprises me that they don't want to cage the energy, because I know that's why I think I'm so inventive and creative, is because my energy was somehow harnessed and then sent in a direction by an instructor.
They probably still see it as amateur, you know, sort of like
That's probably fair. That's probably fair. But I did that. Our first I Hear Your Podcast contest, I specifically focused on the colleges with a series of pamphlets, talking to all the people that could get me into the radio station for some sort of interview, and they had no interest at all.
Well, I was even thinking, I was up University of Missouri, St. Louis at the whatever center the other day.
Yeah.
And I noticed that they have the on-campus radio station with the DJs right behind the window. In the Millennium Center.
Oh, very interesting.
You'd almost probably be better off approaching them than anybody in a profession.
Yeah. So. The other thing I want to try to avoid, too, and there's one podcast that's approached during one of the contests, and they are essentially a morning show. Their production quality is very, very high. They could step in, I think, any radio station and be a morning show. I just don't have any interest in that. And when the shoes hit the ground, I have to be making something that I want people to listen to. And so they're great. They have an excellent library. They have a good, solid listenership. I'm not ready to throw a morning show on my network.
What about alternative news?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'd love to have some more politics stuff. We had a guy named John. He lived Philadelphia. He's in Philadelphia, and he had the Politicking Time Bomb. I actually won the contest to name his show.
Nice.
And he chose the Politicking Time Bomb, and that's essentially what he did. He got on there, he told people his political views, he said, hey, come on, challenge me. And so they did. And again, when you make the presentation and you have people come on and challenge you, that's when people listen. The problem is that he was an Oakley in his real life. He was an Oakley regional manager, and he got transferred to California with a double workload and didn't have the time to do it anymore. And he loved it because he was inside of an organization that had diametrically opposed political views. And so he was able to just have everybody come forward, and that argumentative nature of what people are talking about, again, that's what people want to listen to. You can listen to many shows now, especially on 97.1, and you'll get much of that. You'll hear it. Great question.
Podcasting will evolve into something like a YouTube thing, the higher production?
Yeah, I do. In fact, one of my goals for 2009 has been to find what is going to be the first video podcast, whether I do it myself or someone else does it, the first video podcast or the video cast. Vlog is also another word. V-L-O-G is another one that's being used to convey that idea. But it's a matter of finding the topics that are solid that are going to get the traffic. People are way more inclined to click on a video link than they are on a podcast link, so that's something else to remember.
Have you seen Miro, which used to be called Democracy TV?
No.
That's pretty sweet.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about it last month. I think it was last month. Mm-hmm. I demoed it a bit. Basically, it's a program for video blogs for the most part.
Oh, good.
It goes out. It actually gives you, it has a directory. Mm-hmm. It's part of what's was originally called the Democracy Foundation, whose goal is to help people create these things to send out to people.
Yeah.
And it's got, you know, it's got like This Week in Tech, some of these professional ones. It's actually, you can find, you know, NBC News from last night on it. You can find
that's very
all
slick.
Kinds of stuff. And there's a lot of these cool little skit type driven things.
All the tools are cross platform, which is awesome. So
that's very
slick.
All the tools are cross platform.
Yeah, they're all cross platform. Pretty simple to use.
Yeah, that's very slick.
It's pretty cool.
Creating those things, finding the people, one, that are comfortable in front of not only a microphone but a camera, That it's not that hard. I thought it was going to be a lot harder than it is. The problem is that I want to find one that is talking about something I give a shit about, and that's not necessarily all that easy. And so, six of one, half dozen of another, really, on that. Nuts and bolts. So, did that give you enough on why we're using Mixcraft over Audacity or not?
I'm still not sure what a podcast is.
Sure. Let's start with the definition. That's probably where we should have started.
And I've heard the term netcast, and it's primarily in most...
I think that was the progenitor, because it was located on the net, and the actual program was broadcast, netcast. I think that was the progenitor of podcasts, and then iPods came around.
Okay.
How many of you have an iPod?
Okay, I don't. What's an iPod? What is an
iPod? Glad that you asked that question. This is called an iPod Touch.
My dinosaur is parked at the curb, by the way.
Well, that's okay, because I brought a dinosaur with me, actually. This one is called the U10, and it was my recording home for a long time. It still serves as kind of my hidden recording home, because I can put this in my pocket or a shirt pocket or in a table or underneath a pad where I am, say maybe at a workplace or something where I need to record something. Can slip that under there and record whatever I want, and nobody knows it's there. It's incredibly small. It's called the U10.
U10.
Yeah.
Illegal?
It is, yeah, sure.
Is it by iRiver?
Yeah, this is by iRiver. And there's, I'll pass these around. Just to light this one up, you just hit the button on the front, and it'll give you the front. Go ahead and pass those around.
And that one has recording built in?
The one he has right now has recording built in. It has a small microphone. And actually, Fast Freddy's Castle of Common Sense podcast is recorded on a unit just like that one. This is actually called an iPod from Apple. So, big old iPod. Podcast was taken...
I vaguely know what those things look like and so forth and so on, but,
Mobile hard drive, you record music to it and use the menu structure to listen to it.
And
that's essentially an iPod.
Talk about iTunes and et cetera.
Sure. Let's go back to podcast real quick. Yeah.
I was going to say, so podcast is getting an audio stream onto a server somewhere. And
I think it's even more basic.
Attaching
than that.
A URL to it.
Exactly. Imagine you have you recorded saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Rain, stay mainly in the point.
Yeah. Fine. And so that lives on the internet, and anybody can download it whenever they click on a link that's located wherever. Doesn't matter where. That can be considered a podcast, because you are downloading that to your whatever your device is, whether it's a computer system. You don't have to have an iPod or U10 or anything else to listen to a podcast. You just need to have a computer system that has some speakers on it so that you can hear what you're downloading.
Essentially, it's for people who say are taking the train. I'm just giving you an example.
No, that's a perfect example.
On the East Coast, where they can't get Wi-Fi while they're on the train.
Exactly.
They can download a release program, whatever.
The definition I always give people, and I should have brought this, it's on my main presentation, is a podcast is an on-demand recorded file, whether it's a video file or an audio file, that can be downloaded at will. It's on-demand, either audio or video or wherever else technology is going to take us. But it's literally on demand 24/7. You can go anytime that you want to listen to whatever you want.
Which ones are more popular, the video or the audio?
Video is quickly gaining. Again, it's just a matter of getting the good content.
Well, with the devices being in, you got video, you can actually just...
Yeah, my touch there will have... You can play... You tilt it sideways, and the screen cantilevers and then shows you that small 4-inch screen of video. Yeah. That's exactly what that is.
To give you an example, that little internet tablet idea that I gave in a presentation on a week or two ago, I used to go out to the BBC and download stuff and watch it after the fact.
Yeah, and that's actually becoming more and more popular. Things like Hulu, how many of you know about Hulu? Hulu, you can essentially go and get the television shows that were on last night for free. You pay nothing. And watch them right on your computer screen. Yeah.
So you don't really connect the RSS feed with podcast?
I do. In fact, without the RSS feed, we would be lost. So we'd be
still technically a podcast, but no one will find it.
Yeah. Right. So your Pledge of Allegiance, as long as it's on the internet, it could be a podcast that somebody listens to. The goal is to use many of the new media things. I hope we... Well, where are we on time? I didn't need to bring it.
We've got about 45 minutes.
Talk about iTunes tying to the RSS feed, because I think that's something that's...
Sure. Yeah, well, and I also think it's going to lead us into new media as well. Just make sure those are circulating. Yeah. Okay.
And that they get back.
Yeah. Love to have them back. New media. Everybody's wondering what new media means, and that's actually a term that I'm trying to coin here in St. Louis as social marketing or social media. Social media is the word that's kind of become popular. New media is what I want to call it because it's a totally open-ended sentence. New media will encompass everything like Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, Name, extended forum platforms, all of those weird goony video things that we have no idea what to call them yet. All of those things can be encompassed in a bulb called new media. And that's why I want that classification to be new media and not social networking or social marketing. Because the dome is just lots and lots bigger than just social marketing. It's definitely got a social component. We started talking about RSS feeds. If I've got a podcast that's inside of my iPod here, it's actually shared over in the room, but if I have one in here, the way I usually find it, especially if I am using something called iTunes from Apple, is via an RSS feed. Because to have a podcast on iTunes, which is just a big, giant Sears catalog of audio and video and everything else, to be on that listing, you have to have a reciprocal RSS feed. The RSS feed, you guys know what RSS feeds? Have you talked about them inside of other circles or not?
That'll give us a rundown.
Okay,
yeah,
sure.
Example.
Yeah, sure. The Burn 24 podcast. This is what an RSS feed looks like. And what this does is it provides you all of the innate information of what it is you're going to be downloading. So in this case, we've got the 24 and Terminator podcast, 24 and Terminator and more, nitpicked and detailed. Note that this is something that I just added into the description because I got sick of people saying, oh, you're just nitpicking. Well, no shit. I think I said that already. In detail, we are your podcast, the 24 and Terminator podcast, humorous, entertaining review of media of all kinds, including all things 24, Terminator, the Sarcana Chronicles, and more. So what I've just done is I've made a small classification for the two large podcasts that we have on our network, as well as the totally open venue for talking about anything I want with those couple of sentences. What these are here are structured files so that these links, this link will lead directly to our website. It tells when it was recently published, and for those of you who can't read it, it says, the Terminator podcast from Two Guys Talking, the review of season 2, episode 17, Ourselves Alone on Fox. And then it's got the date, Monday, March 16th, 2009, 3:01 p.m. Terminator, the Sarcana Chronicles continues with 4 episodes left. Are we powering to a strong end of the season or to an end of a series? Learn now by listening to this episode, blah, 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 blah. And then when they're ready to listen, they can either click on this file, or what iTunes will do, it will go and capture every single one of these episodes and present itself inside of iTunes.
So and now automatically download them as they can become
right. Them. And all they have to do is subscribe to this feed, and they'll get everything that we ever push out. So this is how we got Joseph Hodges, production designer, sitting in Mallorca inside of a lawn chair with an umbrella drink, listening to Two Guys Talking 24. This is how we got it. And so whatever your podcast is, you need to always make sure that you have either there are several programs, but someone or you making an RSS file that is then provided to iTunes. And it's a very straightforward process. The description that they have inside of Apple, I think, is very convoluted. You just make sure that you have this file and make sure that it's put into a directory on your website every time it changes, and that's it. There isn't a whole lot more above that. Yeah.
So iTunes acts as a central repository for these various catalogs?
Yeah. They're the snake oil salesmen for all podcasts and videocasts.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be about video shows, TV shows, or whatever. It could be somebody's politics in their basement.
And it actually is. That's where I found the guy. He wasn't the politicking time bomb back then. He was just John Mansfield talking about politics! Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now you're the politicking time bomb because nobody's ever going to remember that. They'll remember the politicking time bomb. Yeah.
So this RSS feed was used first for blogs.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
and
a component.
And then they added
just
a link to an audio file, which changes that blog into a podcast.
Correct. And actually... Yeah, you're right.
You can syndicate anything. It's just it's a specific format for what iTunes or anything else is going to parse out.
All of this stuff just happens to fit into what iTunes says you may use. There are 5 or 6 different types of RSS files that you can have. some of you will even have a picture of whatever you want to talk about, or the host, or picture I can show you Fast Freddy's.
So if you're reading mostly text, you use an RSS feed reader.
Yeah, in fact, there's one built in every browser now.
You'd use iTunes or some other podcast downloader or podcast
browser. The cool thing about RSS feeds is that you can use lots of different applications, and they'll all parse them in different ways. So you can throw that into Thunderbird and have it automatically grab your shows as well. It's just how you want to do it.
I run a bash script that pulls it down. No, we're not doing cross.
That's what I call the podcatcher, I think.
Yeah, there's all different kinds. In fact, there's a guy that just got an iPhone and he didn't know what kind of RSS readers were available for iPhone. So I threw him a couple of Google links, and there's got to be 30 different programs that will do it. It's just they all do something a little bit different and have a different feature. This is Fast Freddy's Castle Common Sense podcast RSS file, and you can actually see his picture of it along with the structure is just a little bit different, not terribly different. It also gives you a little bit more information on the date information. Little picky things that iTunes likes to see. What I want to do, he's only got 31 shows. We've got over 100, and so I'd like to do the cleaned up RSS feed. It's just that it's going to take a long time to sit down and do all the detail work. So eventually we'll clean ours up as good as his is. So that's an RSS file. This is the front. Can you see that? Yeah. Here's the front of his website. He's got all of his podcast episodes here, and then he's actually got it where there's some of the text to let you know exactly what's inside the podcast. One of my sponsors currently is Relay Missouri. Relay Missouri is a division of Sprint that provides relay services for the deaf and hard of hearing. And one of the things that I always dream of that I want to eventually take all the money that I make with my podcast network is I want to make all of our podcasts have a reciprocal transcript, so that you could come and listen and or watch whatever it is we're saying. It's incredibly valuable, and they were willing to pay me double if I would do that. I just know that I have no interest in sitting in front of a keyboard for hours and hours and hours doing that. So.
I think Google is working on something to do that.
Yeah, there's actually a series of free services that have been trying to do it for years now. And there's some that are very close, except when I look at the translation of something like the Two Guys Talking Terminator podcast, it's pretty ripped up because there's so many different words and sounds or whatever else. But you have probably 80% of what's being said on there. It just depends on how fast they're speaking or if there's an accent that usually throws something into a tizzy. But there are some excellent services. Something like whateveryougot.com, something like that. It catches all the different audio files and provides audio scripts of all of those. And they're not very accurate, but they're something. It's a start.
The Security Now, I listen to that every week. They have verbatim transcripts of every episode.
And that's outstanding. That's something I really do want to have, especially because of how much focus there is in the deaf and hard of hearing community in our podcast and stuff.
The comment I heard was that the advantage to that is it's searchable, and Google can find that.
Oh, yeah.
Bang, goes right to their site.
Probably what it just would do it.
Yeah, it would totally help in search engine optimization, because if I have everything we've ever talked about inside of any of the shows, and I can point it to a directory where all of that text lives, God, that's awesome. That would just be so awesome. The RSS feed, we talked a little bit about that. Where are we going to go? We're going to go to RSS feeds. We're going to talk a little bit about iTunes.
Did you write your website from scratch or are you using some kind of software?
I started it from scratch, in what it looked like. Every website I start always starts with a look. And then the customers I approach to make their websites, I ask them if they like the look or not. And they say, no, I'd rather see something more like this down here. So I make a picture of it, then I cut it up, and then I try and make as much text area as I can. And then splash it with graphics to make it look good.
What languages are you using?
Most of this is straight HTML. You've got some JavaScripts and Flash that are thrown through, but nothing exotic.
How about for your hosting?
What we are using is a WordPress scheme here at the Television Review Blogs. Television Review Blogs is something that's exploded into something I never thought it was going to be. Originally, I wanted to just use it for a place to put our news listings so that it would be found in sequence And then I realized there were plenty of people that had no interest or inkling to make a podcast. They wanted to talk about television stuff. Well, and so this was born, and here we are almost 2,000 posts into it after 4 years. And I still put the news on there. You can see that actually the announcement of this event is depicted right here, which helps me immensely with search engine optimization, people being able to find the stuff. But then also, most importantly, it allows me to, once again, you can't really read it here, but I get to whore out all of my sponsors so that whenever I'm talking about something, I can say blah, 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 blah. Provided, sponsored by Sprint's Relay Missouri, Acoustica's Mixcraft 4 recording software, and Ability Interpreting. And that's, I don't think that I've sold out, but that's definitely what it's about. The bigger footprint I can make for them, the more money that they're going to be willing to throw at me next year, or next season, whatever I get them. So, yeah.
Did you look at other blogging software, like Blogger?
My own personal blog is actually on Blogger. Grab the Wheel. That's actually how I...
So this is WordPress, and then...
This is WordPress.
How do you compare the two? Which one do you like better?
WordPress is much more easy to manipulate look-wise, especially from an aspect of a graphic designer like me.
Is that the free version that you don't have to pay for, or...
I'm using the free version.
But there's the other version where you pay them services, you get extra features, right?
Interesting. That's the other thing. I don't know about everybody else, but I really like holding my own hand on stuff like that. I know enough people that can help me with the tech side, so what I need is, like, I want it to look like this. Help me do it. And I can go and find the people to do that.
Okay.
WordPress is really flexible, too.
It is.
I really like it.
It's really good program.
You're talking about the one where they already got it all set up for you?
No, I'm talking about the self-hosted ones that I put on my own websites.
That's pretty powerful.
But I'm a person that actually has, you know, web hosts out there that knows how to run servers.
Right.
If you don't want to run a server, then go with the hosting solution.
Yeah.
If you want to run your own server, get the other WordPress.org download.
Yeah, right. The other benefit of using the blogger.com stuff, which is where we are right now, this is Grab the Wheel, which is my own personal blog, then I always throw and whore out my other stuff here because I've got plenty of readers who come here that I want them to know what I'm doing. What it also allows me to do is to link to other blogs that I'm in. Here's my history of stuff. There's a map here to show you where people are accessing from, which, not so strangely, looks very much like the two guys talking stuff. I always joke with Tony McCullough that the only place we never see anybody from, of course, is down here in Antarctica, where nobody in their right mind lives. But I actually sent several emails to people that are in this area about naval bases and research posts. Mm-hmm. And I got a hold of a guy that was over here on a boat. And I said, do you ever get back to Antarctica? And he said, well, yeah, we're going to go there. Why? I said, well, would you mind listening to our podcast so that I can see what's starting on here eventually?
And, of course, he didn't tell him it's a 34 meg download on his satellite internet.
Yeah. So it cost him like $7,000 to download our one podcast. But anyway, I thought this was a great tool. And it's one of those weird free plugins that you can plug in. But it really does give you a total... This goes back to what I was talking about before about legacy. You go, okay, my friends are going to read it. My mom and dad, okay, Wisconsin, Boston, okay, fine. Who the hell are all these people? And that's the cool nature about all of this. And what it turns into is that it's people that are coming and finding us via the links that we've got, via some of the stories that we have. There's a writing position I have for an organization called SavageScience.com. Let me put that in here real quick. I'm going to hit a whole bunch of topics here. So if I get close on time, would you let me know?
Can you add dots to the map to make it look like more people? Or?
I'm sorry, one more time.
Can you add dots to the map to make it look like more people?
It's actually a live map. Here, let me show you. This map here, when you zoom in, it actually tells you where they're from. So I'm not making the map. Here's us accessing right now.
Yeah, it's actually a service that does that.
But it actually shows you all the cities. So it's not where I could just add on 4,000 stars on there.
Your shadow was covering up the text.
Oh, yeah. Well, here, I got to zoom out here.
No, I physically put the text.
Oh, sorry. So, now that I understand what plays in the world. So when you mouse over these, you can actually see the cities that they're coming from. And that the thicker the stars, the more people are coming from that area. So not so strangely, east and west coast are ridiculously thick. So I don't know how the resolution is on that. You can see that it's pretty deep.
Wow.
Clusters.
And so that's the whole point, because the name of the game in general is footprint. That's what I tell all of my sponsors. Again, I go back to the sample of, if there was a sponsor you would think that would push a podcast network, you would never in a million years think an interpreting company. Well, here they are. And the reason they're here is because they're sponsoring a program that we have called The Caption Hunt, which is us reviewing different television, feature films, DVDs, and more, to find what is and isn't closed caption. Would you be surprised if I told you that 32% of television shows today are actually closed caption? 32%.
That's all.
The commercials? Guess the commercial number.
98%.
All of them. No. Like 5%.
Yeah, it's about 9%.
That's bizarre.
The average during, and I'll just show you this. It's easier to just show you.
What are the shows that are not closed caption?
News, usually. Well,
no, the news is.
Well, I think how many top high-end.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Prime time.
Here's something called the caption call. The caption call is actually, it's a piece of the caption hunt, but it's where we go through, we actually list all the commercials that were shown. So the first one on last night, or on Monday night during 24, was Sprint Mobile Broadband. Not so strangely, they're one of my sponsors, and they're completely closed caption. Liberty Mutual, closed caption, thank you very much. Here's a link so people can go and spend money with you. The Knowing Movie commercial. No captions whatsoever, so apparently all of their knowledge of the future didn't include any of the closed captions of the television show ad. And that's what I actually write in there. And that little... I love that. Casey Famous Bowls, Old Navy, Green Lights. Axe deodorant. The commercial was actually entertaining, but there was no captioning.
Were there any words?
There were. Yeah, okay. It's the woman with the motorcycle. How about Taco Bell?
Yo quiero Taco Bell?
Mercedes-Benz had them. This one kills me. Fox 24 is captioned. The entire program is closed captioned. However, Bones, all of their advertisements and the news advertisements for Fox stuff aren't closed captioned.
Yeah.
Is there a way they can add them after they produce these commercials? Or?
Yeah.
Of course there is. Of course there is.
Can you have an effect?
And see, that's the beauty of all of this.
Can you submit the closed captions to these people?
I do. The other people that do it, Sprint actually has a division of their relay services that do nothing but that. They'll take reports like this, and they'll send a transcript of the commercial over to Taco Bell and say, where the hell are the captions? How are our users going to spend money with you if they don't know what the hell you're saying?
Is it effective?
It will eventually get effective. Right now, it's only 33% effective.
They probably charge $10,000 more for them.
And you know what's funny, though? It's not that much. Because I've talked to the people that provide closed captions on commercials, and it's not that expensive. It's just a matter of people bitching about it. Well, here I am. And so that's the service I offer to an interpreting service and a relay service, and hence they're my sponsors.
I think the irony is that the federal law requires televisions made after, like, 91 or 89, absurdly, for a long time, to have the closed caption decoder.
Yeah.
But there's no law that says that you have to broadcast even using public airwaves with closed captions.
I think I now have three devices, you know, three layers of devices that each do closed caption interpretation.
Which tells you something about the broadcaster's lobby.
Closed
captioning?
Oh, just one more expense is all it is.
Right. It's just more money that has to be thrown, and they don't want to have to deal with it. So
one more source of income.
Correct, it is.
You would think
it's total dollars.
The advertisements they would have
right
now.
Yeah. Savage Science is a... How many of you know about mixed martial arts at all?
About
one guy.
Wow.
About two guys.
Yeah. Okay.
About what?
Mixed martial arts is the conversion of wrestling, grappling, boxing, asterisk. There's more involved as well. But... I'm one of the staff writers for this website. They actually pay me to be a staff writer on this website, and I provide them with reviews of television shows, of fights, round-by-round displays during the fights. Participating in is... I'm kind of the Joe guy that knows a lot about MMA, but provides you a different perspective than just the guys that talk about fights. I'm not the guy that just sits and talks about fights. I'm the guy that talks about how I have no friends at all that like mixed martial arts. So my pay-per-view options, where I would love to split that between 10 guys, well, I don't get that option because it's just me. And so I write an article about that, and woe is me. And then it gets lots of traffic, so that's good. Recently, there was a guy named Charles Lewis. I don't know how many of you have ever seen a show called Tap Out. No? Yeah? Okay. Well, Tap Out is not only a television show, it's a giant promotion company for mixed martial arts. You'll have the shorts, and on the side, there'll be a giant logo, Tap Out, or on the shirt, big Tap Out, or tattoos, or whatever. But he died in a car wreck last week Thursday. And so there wasn't anybody else on staff that really could give perspective about watching the show, because none of them reviewed the show. I reviewed every episode of the show. And so they asked me to write a remembrance thing about this guy on their website. And that, again, is something no one has asked, is how do you make money doing this? Well, this is one way. This is actually just blogging and making money. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to take stuff like this and make this into my video podcast entries. Because it's double dipping. When you can double dip and not have to recreate something else, then you can make more money on one thing, which is the whole point. So there's Savage Science now. They're one of five large websites that review all things martial arts, and I really like them a lot. They're based in Portland. All of their writers are from all over the world, which is another rarity. How much time we got? Half hour? 20 minutes? 20 minutes. Okay. Boy, what do you want me to cover out of my outline that we want to make sure we hit?
Well, just finish up the nuts and bolts.
Sure, and bolts.
Talk about the microphones.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about microphones. Hold on, I don't want to be any race here. Yeah, it actually is. It took me a while to whore around with people that knew Bob Heil, but I finally scored a meet with him, literally in his office, where I didn't realize what a security bungalow he has.
Oh yeah.
He's an astounding man. For those of you who don't know who Bob Heil is, Bob Heil is
did sound for the Who.
He essentially created sound design for bands called the Who.
And his creation story is a pretty good story. Probably on Wikipedia. I think the story was the Grateful Dead were in town and they had some problem with speakers or microphones, and he went and brought one of his own he had made. And so that's how he became well known.
That's his luck shot that became this huge thing. And now they designed
the guy who introduced the wall.
So Rockstar's actually come over to St. Louis to go visit him in
Fairview Heights.
Heights. And they don't come to play. You know, you're like someone was saying, Joel Walsh comes to town all the time.
Yeah.
Joel Walsh and him are good friends.
He goes over to his house and he hangs out.
He did the voice effect for Peter Frampton.
Yeah, exactly. The howling guitar, yeah.
Yeah, the top.
And so meeting with him, I cannot believe that this is the guy. This is Bob Heil. Because he's like the guy you meet at the grocery store. That's how this guy is. I love that. I love that he's just the guy that happened to have this really cool idea. Anyway, when we got done using the headsets and we wanted to step up, what we wanted to do was go to something ridiculously professional. Well, we looked into every kind of microphone there is. There are condenser microphones. There are microphones very much like this one that are from different companies. And what we knew we would have is a total local tie to a guy we could drive to in a half an hour that could potentially become a sponsor. Mm-hmm. Ding, 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 ding. And so I drove over there inside of my 1974 custom Super Beetle, which there's a better picture down here. And of course, it's a show level car. Everything is pristine. You could shave on the front of it because of the mirror finish. But this was empty. There was nothing inside here. And I told him my concept. I showed him the logo. The logo is a little Volkswagen bug with these big arms sticking out of it with microphones on them. And just for total shits, I drew his microphones inside of the cartoon on the logo. And I showed that to him, and he said, "How many microphones do you want?" So, the total joke of this, we started this in year two of the podcast, or end of year two for the podcast network. Inside of all of you somewhere, there's a podcast bug, which gravitates naturally to a podcast bug. And so, thus the podcast bug was born. Totally mobile, totally autonomous, batteries provided by Batteries Plus, who provided that to all of them, provided all that to us.
When you say empty, you mean everything folds up into the trunk?
No, that's where I want to go with it. All of this, I suppose this all could fold up into the trunk, but I would never leave it anywhere.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem with that. What I'd like to do is I'd like to hit a button inside the cockpit and... That would be cool, but not yet. Not yet. Maybe version 2. We'll look at that. But it's just, it's cool. I mean, you look at it and you go, wow. Total attention grabber. Now imagine us doing live remotes or audio capture for commercials. Or bringing it out here and you guys talking about Linux for an hour, where I've got four people here. We can set up another couple of mics in via a mixer, which when we get back to the discussion of nuts and bolts, this is a mixer. This is from Behringer. This is the one that Bob Heil told us to get. So we said, you bet your ass, sir, we'll get that one. So we've got the Behringer mixer. This one allows us to take six microphones in. So you can get area mics or you can get specific microphones like this one. This one's called the Finn microphone. The Finn microphone, there's actually blue LEDs in here, very much like this. Just on both sides, so it actually emits blue light. And it was the first microphone that ZZ Top used inside their most recent video. So it's a big deal. The armature is all Heil technology. The riser that I use in my studio at home to actually lift over the monitor and then use the armature to come down so I can be in front of my computer monitors to record, that's what this does. When you buy a microphone, this, I was going to joke with people about this, but it's not really anything to joke about. This microphone is about $280 when you buy it. About $200 is what they use to make the case. I mean, I could kill somebody with this case. It's the next murder implement inside the Clue game. I did it in the library with the Heil microphone case. But it's like something out of an ambulance or something. It's amazing. Make sure you come up and touch that when you can. It's awesome.
What technology is the microphone?
Kick-ass technology?
Capacitor, dynamic, ribbon.
Dynamic.
Dynamic.
Joe Walsh gives a signature copy of the Bob Heil microphone the way at our amateur radio.
Yeah, very slick. And the PR40s have now become staples of podcasting. I think that it's a totally overkill mic. There's nothing wrong with it at all,
but
it's very expensive, and I don't see the difference between that microphone and this microphone.
And what was the one that's overkill?
It's the PR40. The PR20. The PR20 looks very much like something you'd get out of a Rock Band box.
PR40 by what manufacturer?
By Heil. It's a Heil microphone. The PR20 is actually the same microphone inside of this case. So if you took out the guts of a PR20 and shoved it into this with the lights, it's exactly the same microphone. Yeah.
Is the difference either the frequency range or the dynamic range?
They've both got their waves that I don't have here.
He has a frequency bump that's specialized for vocalization on RF frequency.
Right.
Speech.
Right.
Do you think that high quality of a mic is required? You said it's $280.
Yeah, absolutely not.
That's a cheap mic.
Yeah.
Good mic costs about $600 to $4,000.
We're just talking about voice here, so
right.
High quality. Yeah, I mean, before I came on,
how do you want it to sound after ghosts from everything else?
The Crapo gaming headsets. In fact, if we step up in between there, there's another set I was going to show you. Sorry. Getting kind of sidetracked. It's too fun to talk about. There's so much to talk about. It's so little time.
Your
Tetrick.
Your little capacitor mics are not bad.
No, this is the Plantronics 517 model.
Plantronics is good stuff.
Plantronics is outstanding stuff. For those of you that don't know, it's the stuff that was made that got the guys to the moon. So it's hard to go wrong. Mm-hmm. There's a little mic that extends, and these run about $50. That's where I would tell you to try and spend money. Mm-hmm. Try and spend money in a all-in-one headset like this. For $50 or more, you're going to get something really, really decent. The ones less than that, like the $20 ones you can get at Walmart that are, the old part. Those you don't want, yeah.
That'll plug right into the mic input.
this will go right in the mic input on the back of your machine and be captured by whatever program you're using, whether it's Mixcraft or Audacity.
I recently saw an ad for a company called Ethematics, and they have headsets for, I mean, they're high-end. Some of their stuff is high-end, like $200 for headsets for iPod. Mm-hmm. But for $50, they have a cell phone headset with an incredible sound isolation.
Yeah, yeah.
$50, that's just amazing.
I'm waiting, and it's coming. Where they're going to have
invisible.
Yeah, not only the noise canceling, but the wireless. It's going to come. It's just a matter of the miniaturization of all the parts that go into the headset so that you don't look like you have a headset on. And yeah. It's coming. It's just a matter of time. Did you have a question in the back? No.
One of the things that I thought was interesting when I first started on the show, the first couple things I did was with that was the exact headset that he showed there. And the major difference that I found moving from the headsets to the Icer microphones was the noise canceling and the microphone's ability to not record the pops when you don't, you know, you say a T too loud in there or whatever.
Noise canceling and
the little subtleties make editing a huge
difference.
This gives you kind of a side view where you've got a mixer inside. It's all polished wood inside, a couple of monitors that mirror each other, and then here you can see the actual LEDs that are turned on, and they totally kick ass when it's dark. Just very nice.
It's nice to be able to see
back briefly to the nuts and bolts. And so the whole object is either conventional wired microphones into a mixer that's got a digital output, or into the back of your computer where you're capturing it digitally,
right,
so that you can create what kind of file?
Your audio stream.
Usually what happens is almost every program is going to have their own project file. That's going to give you all of the ability to go in and grab the pieces,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then all of those will export to something friendly, like your favorite file.
The
iVorbis file.
Sadly, iTunes only accepts MP3s, but right. You can always do both as we do.
So just
like all the video editing and whatnot, they've got a proprietary intermediate file, and then they convert to the final output.
Correct.
Well, a lot of it's open source. You don't have to go with a proprietary.
Okay.
Well, I felt like you could export everything by compressed, but don't do that.
Right. The compression part is what will enable you to have your 35-minute podcast that isn't 700,000 megabytes. Yeah.
And I guess the podcast really means that you're producing a file rather than a stream.
Yes.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, they download.
Yeah. A lot of people will say something very much like that. Oh, you've got that streaming thing. No. There's nothing wrong with streaming. The problem is that streaming is live. When I'm streaming something, it's just as if I had my own little personal radio station.
When you're
beaming a signal, but when the signal turns off and I'm not providing anymore, you don't get to hear anything I'm providing because I'm not pushing anything.
The confusing thing, I think, for a lot of people there is that you can play back an actual podcast file in a streaming fashion such that your player is not downloading the whole thing and then you listen to it.
Yeah.
It can be downloading it as you're listening to it. But that's a huge distinction from what a lot of people think, which is that you press go and now anyone can just listen as you talk.
Right. And that really gets back to what we were talking about before about quality. You can actually back to your question, you had asked the length. Who asked the length question? Was one of you two in back?
How long is a sound stream?
How long is a podcast? How long can it be?
Okay. How long is a conversation?
Yeah. It's funny you mention that. Tony and I have sat together for a couple of hours eating at a restaurant someplace, talking about whatever. And that's the nature. It's just a matter of whatever you want to talk about. A good range to shoot for, I think, is probably that 30-35 minute segment, especially if you're talking alone. Fast Freddy's Castle Common Sense podcasts, all of those they range in the 5 to 6 minutes max. Shelley's are all that same length. They're usually 7 to 8 minutes, yeah.
So the answer to how long should a podcast be is how long can you be interested?
The sample is Tony and I can talk about something in the 24 podcast that rabid fans will sit and listen to hours on end.
Everyone else would not.
They go, boy, what is that sound every 10 seconds? What is that?
That's a boring podcast.
For some people, 5 minutes is too long.
Yeah. Right. Well, again, that's why I have a diversity of podcasts, because if the longer podcasts are not for you, it doesn't matter because I have something to hit that niche.
I listen to podcasts that are like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've only scratched the surface of what is new media, so.
I got a question.
Wow. Yeah, go ahead.
Mixer. Does it have a digital out, or?
It does. Yeah, there's a little dongle that attaches to all the conventional stuff and allows you to go USB right into the computer.
Oh, okay.
If you're going to get a mixer, go Behringer, because he wasn't kidding. The differences in the power of something. This only costs $200. This isn't like.
Oh, cow, it's not bad.
No, it's incredibly inexpensive to get into stuff.
The next best down from there, the Radio Shack mixer, it's a two-fit mixer.
Yeah.
Actually, high quality for.
Yeah. But the difference is the noise and the signal to noise levels and all the really technical specs on this stuff will just blow away anything.
Actually, my Radio Shack has really good signal to noise. It's amazing. It's surprising.
Yeah, the Radio Shack condenser mic's a very good mic.
The input will make a difference too. A lot of the cheaper microphones or mixers don't have the XLR inputs, which you need for pretty much any professional microphone. Right. So if you're going to do the higher end mics, you need the higher
XLR. The last thing I wanted to talk about here was something called the H4.
What is the H4?
The H4, you see that okay?
Yeah.
The H4 is another type of mobile recording device that provides you some really excellent audio capture ability, regardless of whether or not you have or don't have mics. It's actually got the XLR inputs, so all the Hyo mics and anything that you've got that's professional level that goes in via XLR, you can actually put two in. One would be right channel, the other one would be left channel. The most important piece of the H4, however, is this little feature here. It's a taser gun.
No. Stereo mics.
Yeah, it's actually stereo mics, and the footprint of how this records is very, very good. The Galactic Quorum podcast actually uses a unit just like this one to capture all their interviews. So with James Edward Olmos, all of those people from Battlestar Galactica that they interview, they're actually using this and nothing else, which is amazing. Well, I'm sorry?
Who's the vendor?
Zoom. Put in H4 into Google and everything will pop up. Tony also showed me that there's a new version of this coming out.
Yeah, in the next couple of months it's going to be released.
Yeah,
virtually the same price too. So.
Yeah, and
there were some
of the features that I wish they had changed.
$280 or so on eBay. The MSRP's higher, but that's going.
Yeah. Great question.
The final product that you're ready to publish it out, whatever.
Uh huh.
What's your recommendation on index marks? Like somebody was saying, they listen to podcasts that are 2 hours, and that's fine unless you're trying to listen to them in pieces, you know, and pick up where you left off. And I'm thinking like hooks on tape, right, or like every 3 minutes or something.
Not sure.
There's not a concept of like tracks in a CD where you can like bookmark.
I guess in books on tape, each one of those tracks is a little.
It just has a drive.
3 minutes,
right.
MP3 player. So you talk about a half hour show or whatever, it's one clip. It's not 10 3-minute clips bundled together.
Right. But it could be. See, the Tarka podcast, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what the Tarka podcast was. The difference is that if you listen, the 3-minute segment is a song and the guy talking about where the band is from. So that's that segment. And then there's another segment right after that that's him talking about where the band is from and their details and their song.
But it's all one. Is that
yes.
All one file? Though,
yes.
Right?
But you can also toggle inside of whatever you're using if you hit the forward button. He's made it so that you can actually graduate inside of them. That's very nice.
See, that's what I was asking. How do you insert those marks for forward?
Acoustics Mixcraft has a fantastic feature to put that into all of your podcasts.
That would be something that the player would have to support, though.
Yeah, most of us didn't even know that existed.
I didn't realize that MP3 supported that.
Yeah. You can put inside of Mixcraft, you can actually change out the color of the marker. So, like, if you wanted to jump past and use a red marker for the commercial breaks and a yellow one for the breaks that are just, in our case, the tones. So we'll get done talking about something and when we're recording, I'll say, insert the tone. So that when I'm going back to edit, I know exactly where the tones have to go. And then I just delete the words, insert the tone.
But they were saying the player would have to support
reference. Yeah, so the sample is Windows Media Player. I know that works because I'm using it. I know my iPod does because I can hit the toggle inside the Tarka podcast and that works. So, my guess is it's just a burgeoning technology that will eventually catch on with everybody, including Audacity. Because it'll be that feature that you wish you had and you don't, and then they'll have somebody that programs it.
Have you tried that? I don't have any idea.
We're getting close to time.
Have you tried it recently?
Which?
Audacity.
I have not.
Oh, okay.
I haven't, not since 3 years ago.
But I use Audacity heavily for a lot of stuff, and it's my experience that you can do pretty much everything that Mixcraft can do with Audacity. Mixcraft is designed, though, with users
gonna,
in mind.
I'm going to turn the lights on.
So I guess the analogy would be you can use a hammer to nail some boards together, or you can use a nail gun. They'll both do the same thing. One is just designed to do it in a different way for specific types of people.
I absolutely would like y'all to come up and look at it, because I know before I heard about any of this, I was scared to death of all of it. So please come up and look at it. The H4 is right here. The microphone boom and the mic, you know, it's very straightforward, nothing weird. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Right.
Thanks, Mike.
Hold on.
If anyone hasn't signed in yet, please sign in. I've also got business cards over here. Please feel free to take some.